Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Southern Miss fans know the number one stop for Golden Eagle apparel is Campus Bookmart on Hardy Street in Hattiesburg. Baseball, basketball, football, Campus Bookmart has it covered with clothing to fit the young and old, big and small Golden Eagle in your family. You can visit the store on Hardy Street, shop online at campusbookmart.net, or call in your order and have it mailed to your front door. However you choose to buy, always visit Campus Bookmart first. You won't be sorry. Campus Bookmart and Southern Miss, to the top.
Four free record on my count. Seven, six, five, four, three, two, roll A, fade up on A.
Southern Miss to the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
All right, let's go. Tuesday edition of the Super Talk Eagle Hour. Glad you're with us around the state. Whatever station you're on or whether you're online, welcome to the program. We're broadcasting from the Southern Bancorp studio here in Oak Grove / Hattiesburg. Bob Kelly and Dima, we're glad you're with us. Great show today. We've got an extended interview coming up with head football coach Will Hall. But before we get to that, we'll remind you about Dickey's Barbecue Pit, a great place to cater your next event. Get ready for football tailgating. Dickey's should be at the very top of your list. We've done that many times, never been disappointed. Also a great place to take your family for dinner tonight, Dickey's Barbecue right here in Hattiesburg. Well, it's hard to believe, but July is all but gone. Fall football camp opens up this week, tomorrow. Actually, who better to have on today than head football coach Will Hall? Coach, it's always a pleasure to have you on the show. So your guys are coming into town. You kick things off tomorrow, year four. Before we get into any detailed questions, just give us your overview of how you're feeling, Coach Hall, and you know, what are your expectations for year four of your program?
Yeah, really looking forward to this season, you know, because of how we've recruited. You know, number one, I mean, we've had three consecutive recruiting classes, you know, of top three. This past year was number one. And then we've been able to retain them as well. You know, you guys watched Media Day, and that's the big thing I talked about, is there's two ways to build a roster nowadays in 2024. There used to only be one way. The first way to build a roster is the same as always, is recruiting. And we've done that as well as, you know, you can really probably do at the Sun Belt level. And we've done a great job of it, and that's not me giving my opinion. That's based off the rankings and all that stuff. But the second way is through retention. And, you know, everybody is working so hard nowadays to try to be able to retain their own players. And a lot of people are failing at it. Some are succeeding at it. And we've been so blessed to be able to do a great job of that. And I think that shows that these kids believe in their coaches. I think they believe in how they're treated. I think they believe in all of the opportunities that the University of Southern Mississippi can provide to them, and also all the opportunities that To the Top Collective can provide to them. So because of that, we've got 3 years' worth of really adding great talent to this roster that we've been able to keep and develop. And I like our football team. I really do. I think if you really dive into it and you really – go through the details of rosters, you know, I think anybody would like our roster and be excited about coaching this team. So we're pumped about it. We come in today. We've been together all summer, obviously, but there's a lot to like and a lot to look forward to with this bunch if you're a Southern Miss fan.
Coach, with new coordinators, from a fan perspective, what will they see different on the field, you think, overall, from what perhaps they saw last year, year before?
Yeah, I think, well, let's start defensively. You know, I think you're going to see us be able to line up fast. You're going to see us playing on edges. I've said that a lot this offseason. I probably should define that a little more. You know, when a defensive lineman lines up head up to an offensive lineman, he has to create an advantage through some way. But if he lines up on an edge, whether that's an outside shoulder or an inside shoulder, then now he's got an advantage right off the bat, and he can really get off the ball and try to cause disruption. You guys know we've recruited phenomenally at D-line here. We've almost become group of five D-line U. I mean, it's amazing the talent we've accumulated at that spot. And so I'm excited about them being able to get lined up and get going and play, much like we were doing you know, more towards the back half of last season. And then, you know, our secondary, we're going to be based out of quarters and cover three, so we're going to have eyes on the quarterback. It's going to allow us to rally to the ball better and play with speed, but also get more tip balls. I think you'll see more turnovers and takeaways this year than what you've seen in the past, as well as, you know, our big not giving up as many big plays. Offensively, you know, you're going to see a lot more fun. You know, it's going to look like the offense that we envisioned when we came here. You guys know, man, if I could go back and do some things over, I'd probably delegate more early on. And having Coach Long here running the offense has just been a blessing for our program in so many ways. You're going to see more screens, more motion, more misdirection. And excited about both coordinators. I think they're really, really sharp. They care about their players. They're experienced play callers. And they're also play callers that have gone into situations where it needed to be fixed fast, and they've been able to do that. So it's been a lot of fun having them on staff.
Coach, I wanted to ask about Reed Jezlowski, who came in on that recruiting class, the tight end. I remember when I spoke to you about him in the spring, he was listed as 6'3", 200 pounds. You said that y'all could probably add more over the summer. Has he gotten bigger? And I'm sure I'll see him tomorrow, but I just was wondering on that.
Yes, he's up to about 230 right now, Dima. Wow. As a matter of fact, I'll text you a picture of him I just took the other day. he doesn't look like Kelly with his shirt off.
Oh, no.
Thank God for that.
No, he's doing really good. He's had a really good summer, and I think he's a true freshman that'll play. And that's rare. That's rare in Group of Five football for a freshman to make a significant impact, but I think he definitely has a chance to.
And then Zach Conte from Eastern Michigan, 6'6", 325. The pieces you added on that line, on the offensive line, how big is that regarding him and then regarding the other pieces that you add and you bring back?
Yeah, you know, the big thing with adding Conte and adding Dante Lucas, you know, we added two guards that have started a ton of games in college football on winning football teams. You know, so it's not like, you know, sometimes you recruit and you don't know how it's going to project or whatever, but we're talking about, you know, Zach played in the MAC on bowl teams that went to bowl games and won a bunch of games. And then Dante Lucas played in our conference and one of the more dominant players in our league on teams that won and won bowl games. So you feel like those are about as known of an agent as you can sign relative to the league we played in. And they're doing really well, but we've also got some young guys right there at guard, you know, with Claiborne Pollard and Will Saxon that played a ton of games and are growing and developing. And then we also signed a young transfer at guard in Joe Cryer. So, you know, I really like that bunch and think they're gonna surprise some people.
And I know in shorts and without a shirt, I look like a busted can of biscuits, but I'm working on it, Coach. I'm working on it. Hey, let me ask you about the chronology now. You guys start tomorrow, so take us through the punch list for the first couple of weeks of practice. When will you guys actually start preparing specifically for the Wildcats of Kentucky?
Yeah, so we'll go fall camp for, we'll go, let's see, school starts on August the 21st. So we're going to get 14 practices in. Okay, and then at that point, we will have a week that we call a 50-50 week, which means we'll go half the practice will be good on good and focusing on us, and the other half will be focused on Kentucky. And then after that, we'll go into a true blue game week. So we'll go 14 practices, and then after that, you know, we got 14 practices in our first scrimmage, then we got two more days, and then school starts. But we'll stretch that out over about 2.5 weeks with our off days. We'll have two big scrimmages in it. And that's pretty general. I've not broken from that. That's a system that's, you know, like I said, that's worked for me, you know, in my past. And so pretty similar, you know. When we flip over to thinking about Kentucky, that first week of school, you're talking about around August the 19th, you know, for all you people that like to mark it down and hold me to it, which I'm a man of my word. We usually give a depth chart out about that time with all the positions and all that stuff. But we'll have some great competition throughout all positions in fall camp.
Well, including the quarterback position. And I know some coaches, particularly in the NFL, say if they have ever made mistakes, it's that they're protecting their quarterbacks too much in the preseason. Where's the fine line there, Coach Hall, of protecting your quarterbacks but also making sure they get, you know, credible reps?
Yeah, well, you know, for us, we went back, we let them all be live all spring long, you know, which not many people do that, but we did. So they got four live scrimmages in spring practice, which I think was great for them. They played at a really high level, created a lot of belief within their teammates and also within this staff with those top three. So I don't know. I don't think we'll get a lot of live work with them this fall camp. That's one reason we wanted to do it in spring ball. And, man, they played well. They had phenomenal springs and then their summer. You know, just good players, smart players, and bring a lot to the table.
We're talking to head football coach Will Hall. Got to keep him on the show here a while longer. Want to remind you, though, before we go to the break, about Genesis of Hattiesburg, the official auto dealer of the Eagle Hour. Genesis sedans and SUVs are the finest luxury vehicles on the road today, and you can visit the all-new Genesis showroom on Highway 98 West, Hattiesburg. And don't forget about the Super Talk Eagle Hour podcast, and we're happy to say thousands of you download it every month. We're grateful to you. You can find it on Apple, Audible, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn, or you can tell Alexa or Siri to play the Super Talk Eagle Hour. More with head football coach Will Hall on the other side of this short break.
Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel is a wholesaler and distributor that has been powering our community for over 20 years. With everything from conduits to tape, tools to home automation devices, if you can think of it, we supply it. All you need to do is talk us through the project at hand, and we'll ensure you're equipped to get it done right. To get all the electrical supplies you need, visit Robinson Electric at 519 North 13th Avenue or call us at 601-649-1317.
The Eagle Hour, Southern Miss to the top.
All right, welcome back. Super Talk Eagle Hour on the air. We're glad you're with us. This segment is sponsored by Campus Bookmart on Hardy Street. Campus Bookmart, where you'll find the biggest selection of Southern Miss apparel anywhere, and you'll always find Miss Kathleen, and she is a princess. 4th Street Bar and Grill, also a great sponsor of our program and a great place to catch a great meal in the next Southern Miss football game. We thank all the great sponsors of the Super Talk Eagle Hour. We're talking to head football coach Will. All right, Coach, let me ask you one of those generic questions, but I'm curious to hear your response to this. The strength of your football team right now will be what? And what is it, if anything, about your football team that has you tossing and turning a little bit in bed at night and you think you need to improve?
Well, I think the strength of our team, you have to start with the D-line. You know, I mean, when you look at returning, we've got three seniors and one junior. When you start on the interior and you talk about Jalen Williams out of Tylertown, Mississippi, I mean, think about this guy. He was the number one junior college recruit in America, signed with Arkansas, transferred back home. He'll be a three-year starter for us. Then you go to D'Amico Rowland. D'Amico was going to Texas Tech, so another Power 5 transfer will be a two-year starter for us. You'll remember D'Amico's the one that had those two great goal line stands to win the Louisiana game. Then you got Broderius Lewis, who was a highly recruited junior college player. He'll be a three-year player for us, started a bunch of games. And then Armandus Cooley, who missed last season with an Achilles injury, but is a Mississippi State transfer out of Wayne County, who played really, really well and started some games for us in 22 when we won a bowl game. So those four guys on the interior, coupled with Jaleel Clemens, who's a three-year starter out of a transfer out of Memphis, who's got a bunch of sacks in his career, and Kristen Booth, a three-year starter out of Oxford, Alabama, who's played a bunch of great minutes. And Eric Thomas returns at DN, who also is a transfer from Arkansas, another SEC transfer, and played a bunch of minutes for us last year. So just a lot of returning production of highly recruited kids, coupled with you know, all these young D linemen we signed that were 3- and 4-star kids, Caleb Moore and Jalen Owen from Oak Grove, Zay Lowry from West Point, Elijah Douglas from Pensacola Pine Forest, Miles Adams from Flowmont, Alabama, like those guys were highly recruited. And then transfer-wise, you bring in Caleb Bryant, another SEC transfer, Ryan Johnson from Akron, Jameer Lewis, who was one of the most highly sought-after junior college recruits in the country out of Macomb, and then Khalid Moore, another SEC transfer to Mississippi State. So a lot of talent right there, very deep, a great mixture of youth along with returning production. So I don't – you know, that it's got to start right there for us. As far as a group keeping me up at night, you know, like I said, Bob, man, I'm excited about coaching this team. I like it. You know, I guess if you wanted to nitpick, the least returning production for us is outside receiver. At slot receiver, we've got a ton of production in Ty Mims and Chandler Pittman, two guys that have played a ton of minutes and won games for us. On the outside, you got two young guys in Davis Dalton and J.J. Butler that were really highly recruited kids, and then you bring in four transfers, Larry Simmons and Dannis Jackson from the SEC, who were former 4-star recruits. And then Keyshawn Buckley and Dakota Thomas, who were junior college transfers. So that's probably the most unproven position as far as making plays in college football. But, you know, they were highly recruited. They've been here all spring, and they've worked really hard. And I think you'll continue to still grow, you know, throughout the year.
Coach, I want to go back to defensive line. As a unit, do you think they present themselves a little better as a pass-rushing unit or as a run-stopping unit?
I think both. You know, I think Jaleel is an elite pass rusher. You know, I think Booth is an elite run stopper. I think they both worked hard to complete their game. I think D'Amico and Jalen and Cooley and Rodarius on the inside do a good job of both. You know, but they're big and strong and experienced. And I think what you're going to see with this defensive scheme is them being able to line up. And if they're better than their opponent, they're going to be able to show that. They're not going to be twisting and slanting and all that as much. If they're bigger and better, then they're going to be bigger and better, and they're going to have the opportunity to do that. And I'm excited to watch them play.
You know, talking to some of the other radio guys down at Media Day in New Orleans last week, they talked about your – and again, these are just radio guys, right? We don't know. Mm-hmm. But they were talking about they thought that maybe you were a little bit weak in the linebacking core compared to, you know, the rest of the team. But we haven't really talked about linebackers. What about that unit?
Well, we've got four guys that have played a ton of college football and played well. You know, Jalen Sims comes back as a highly recruited junior college kid last year, played a ton for us down the stretch. And then you bring in two guys that have started a ton of college football games. Trey Pinkney at Coastal Carolina, who was outstanding when we played against him 2 years ago. And then Desmond Baker out of Western Kentucky, out of Clinton, Mississippi. Both of those guys have made a ton of tackles in college and have started on teams that have went to bowl games. So really believe in them. They had great springs. And then you bring in a guy like Avery Sledge out of Forest County Ag, who played a ton of minutes for Mississippi State the last few years in the special team. So we've got four guys with a lot of experience, and then we got two young guys in Jacob Johnson, a redshirt freshman, and Chris Jones, who was one of the more highly recruited young guys in all the Group of Five football. So a lot of production right there for people to doubt them. I mean, I can see where you – if people want to doubt them, they can. But, I mean, shoot, those guys have – They've gotten a lot of people to the ground in their college careers.
I think maybe it's just they haven't seen them in Eagle uniforms, you know, so it's like maybe, I don't know, chemistry or whatever, but that might be why they were thinking that way.
Coach, going back to the receivers, you mentioned Dannis Jackson. I wanted to kind of talk about him for a second. He came in the summer after spring training, if I'm pretty sure, from Missouri. Is it easy? I'm intrigued to see him tomorrow because I don't think we saw him at all during the spring. But is it easy for him to kind of, you know, install the offense that quick to the season? Is it easier for those players, do you think?
Well, I think Coach Lindsey spent a lot of time with him. He spent a lot of time on it. You know, we're getting Dannis at a really good time. Dannis is a grown man now. Yeah. Summer all played for Shannon White. He's one of the most just elite, fine gentlemen that anybody's ever met, anybody that knows Shannon White. I mean, you can't get any better of a human being than him, and for a high school football coach and leading men. But Dan has played for Coach White, then he goes to Ole Miss. He plays early, you know, on some good Ole Miss teams, and then he goes to Missouri. You know, and everybody knows they went won 11 games last year, and he was behind 3 5-star guys that are going to get drafted. And it was a deal for Dennis where he just wanted to get back home and matter again. And that happens for so many of our recruits coming back home. They just, you know, after you go and you do the pizzazz of all the SEC and all that, after you get through all that, you really just want to play football for somebody that cares about you. You want to play at a place where you matter. And, man, I mean, this is Southern Miss. And Dennis Jackson's from Summerall, Mississippi. And he just – he's so happy to be back home. He's so happy to help us get this great program back. And I think Southern Miss fans are going to have a lot of fun watching. Man, he can fly, Dima. Boy, he can run. And he's had such a great attitude. We tell all these transfers, you've heard me say it, we won't become you. You will have to become us.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I was recruiting Dennis, I said that – I got to round on my pitch, and I said that the third time. And he raised up and he looked at me and said, Coach, before you go any further, I need you to stop right there. Like, you keep saying that. You don't have to say that no more. You don't have to worry about that with me. I want to become y'all. I want to be at Southern Miss. And I said, all right, I'm good. Coach Lindsay, let's get this thing done, man. Let's bring him home. And, you know, and so it's been good.
And how would you describe Tate Rodemaker's ability to grasp this this playbook?
Well, you know, Tate is a coach's kid, Kelly, and a lot of people won't know this from around here, but Tate quarterbacked at Valdosta High School, the all-time winningest program in United States history. So, you know, he grew up in an environment where he was the coach's son at Valdosta High. That's an extreme amount of pressure and a lot to have to live with as a young kid. And so he's been through all that. Then he goes to Florida State, and he's played in 23 games, and every time he had to play, he played extremely well. You know, he's had to come off the bench when their starter got hurt versus Louisville. North Alabama versus Florida, he started and he's won. So that's something that I think has kind of created a lot of excitement within our building with our offensive skill players all throughout our team is, you know, they've seen Ethan Crawford play college football games and he played well. They have seen Tate Rodemaker play college football games and he played well. So there's just more known at that position than we've ever had. You're not projecting so much. I mean, they played. They played well. So it's good to have them, man. And it's created a lot of, like I said, comfort level with our kids and excitement throughout the building.
All right, Coach, we don't normally do this. I'm going to ask you if you can stick around just a little bit longer. I know you all your guys are coming in today. So you got a few more minutes you can share with us?
I would love to.
All right, Coach Will Hall, going to continue our conversation with Coach on the Super Talk Eagle Hour. As we go to break, I want to remind you about Town & Country Cleaners, family-owned and operated since 1983, offering services like steam pressing, shirt laundry, bulky bedding, minor alterations, and, of course, dry cleaning. Most orders can be picked up the same day as they're dropped off. You can visit Town & Country Cleaners at their convenient location across from USM on Hardy Street. You can call them at 601-264-4920, and Kelly, you can go to Mo Bay Beignet Company, 2902 Hardy Street. If you spill some of that sauce on some of this top-notch clothing that you wear, you can take it right down the street to Town & Country Cleaners.
I'm the Hattiesburg Fashion Plate, babe, and I think salmon-colored or Cimarron Sunset Saffron shorts get a 20% discount, I think.
Is that correct? Well, I want to see you and Dima wearing matching outfits on opening day of football. Are you up for that, Dima?
Book it.
There we go. This should be really... We'll get Coach Hall's input on this, too, as to what he would like to see.
I think he's probably got bigger fish to fry on opening
probably
day.
Probably so. We'll be right back with Coach Hall.
You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour. The Eagle Hour. Southern Miss to the top.
All right, let's get right back to our conversation with head football coach Will Hall, and I really appreciate all this time he's taken, seeing that it's the day players are coming back to campus. We're grateful to you for that.
And tomorrow it counts, yeah. Baby. It starts
right,
tomorrow.
I'm going to run two questions by you, Coach, then I'm going to give the rest of the segment to the guys here. My first question is this. I heard you comment on this during the break when we were all talking. the astonishing number of new players on many teams in the league. And I think that just makes it almost impossible for the media to accurately predict who's going to finish where. Talk about the stunning number of turnovers in players that you just described to us with Troy in South Alabama, for example.
Well, you know, I don't want to call out those programs too much, Bob, but like if you do your research and you look at the rosters on opening day in our league for the last 2 years, and like, you know, if people were paid as much money to predict the Sun Belt correctly as they were the SEC and really dove into this, you would come away with some astonishing stats on that. And that's something we've been really proud of here. I think I saw an article written the other day where it said Southern Miss goes against the grain and is focused on retention. We didn't go against the grain. We just did it. Everybody's trying to retain them.
Yeah.
We've just been able to do it. And thank you, Jesus, for that and our university and To the Top Collective. But, you know, that's why there's a lot of optimism, I think. I think that's why the real Southern Miss fans should be optimistic.
And I don't want to put you on us. I'm not trying to get you to call out any particular program, but it is true, right, Coach? There are a lot of new players, and there are a lot of new coaching staffs in the Sun Belt, which I would just think makes it hard to accurately predict where people are going to finish.
Oh yeah, and I mean look at the predictions the last few years. You know, I think when Troy, I think 2 years ago was maybe picked fourth or fifth in the West, and they won it. You know, when Billy Napier left Louisiana, they were picked to win it, and they finished maybe third or fourth. I mean, anytime there's coaching change at the Group of Five level, the accuracy of the report, you know, the accuracy of predicting what they're going to do is really hard. You know, I think one thing that's been a constant at Group of Five football for years and years is when there is consistency at the top, it usually generates success. And you can look at Southern Miss for that. You know, look at Coach Bowers' run after year three. Look at, you know, Larry Fedora's great year was year four. Todd Munkin's great year was great year three.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then when those coaches leave, there's a little bit of a, you know, a rebuild, if you will, and all that. Well, we're going into year four, and we've recruited well and retained well. And like I said, in our building, there's a lot of optimism and a lot of belief in the opportunities that lie ahead. And we think we built a roster that's going to be able to compete. We really do. Like, we think we're going to be able to compete week in and week out. How many wins is that going to get to? I'm not going there. Y'all know that. But we're going to focus on us and get better each week. But I think this has the ability to be a pretty fun year for everybody. And I think we're about to go on a fun run here, Southern Miss. I do. I think we're about to go on a fun few years where we have a whole lot of fun together.
All right, last question for me, and I'll throw it back to the guys. And I asked one of your other coaches this a few weeks ago, and I've asked a lot of coaches this, but I think one of the toughest things it has to be about coaching college athletics is all the noise that's around you. And, you know, everybody has all these great expectations, but everybody's not on the field every day practicing with your kids. No one knows the team like the coaches do. Coach, how do you block out the noise and the criticism and stay focused on your job and try to ignore everything that's to every side of you?
Well, number one, there's a lot to do. You know, there's a lot to do without – it's not like I have a lot of time to just sit here and look up what somebody that thinks they know how to coach says about me. You know, it's so funny. Y'all have people come up to me at church or whatever, and they'll say, Coach, man, we sure do think a lot of you. Don't listen to what them people are saying. And I want to say, I have no idea what they're saying. I don't talk to them, you know. But no, it's look, I wanted to come back home. I wanted to come to Southern Miss because Southern Miss cares. In a day and age where there's less excitement, less interest in Group of Five football than ever before, our people care more than ever before. And I came back here to put a staff together to build this great program back, and we've not wavered in our process of it, you know. And you know, impatience is wanting the next thing. Patience is wanting the best thing. And we have gone about this in a way to build a roster and build a program that could retain them and last. And it's year four. It's time to start reaping some of those rewards. I get that, but I'm pretty confident we're going to.
Coach, you said right here on this show a little bit earlier today that, in your tenure at Southern Miss, you've had to change as a coach. You've had to change some things as a coach. What of those changes have been the most difficult for you personally to let go of and to change?
Well, you know, I think one thing Southern Miss fans ought to be proud of with this staff is, you know, there's group of five coaches running from group of five just trying to get out of it. I mean, we've had two head coaches in our conference leave to be assistants. You know, La Tech's athletic director left to be an assistant athletic director at the Power Five level. We've kind of embraced it. We're attacking it. We think it's caused us to be out in the forefront and have an edge again. And so, you know, because of all the changes in college football, I don't think I can be a head coach and run the offense. I think that's obvious. I just couldn't put the amount of time into it that I needed to. And that's past us now. I wish I would have probably made that decision earlier, Kelly. I can be honest with you and admit that. But at the same time, you know, when you're in the trenches and you're going, you want to do what you've always been good at. And, you know, so we got Coach Long here now. I think that's going to be – I know it's going to be great. It's been great just being the head coach. And then I'm very proud of how we've gotten NIL rolling here. I'm very proud of the money we've raised. I'm very proud of the way we've changed the narrative of it. I know it's new. I know it's different. But I think our fans are starting to embrace it, and because, man, it is a true blue edge for Southern Miss. And, you know, from a recruiting standpoint, you know, we don't have the best facilities in the world. We don't have anything to be embarrassed about, but we've not had a true blue edge outside of location in some time in recruiting, but now we do. We've got a collective. It's real. It's growing. We've got a fan base, and you can measure that now, how good your fan base is with your collectives. And we just got to continue to grow that and keep embracing that. So I'm proud of how we've done that, and I'm proud of the roster and the culture we've built. How many cultures could handle everything we've been through and be rock solid and your good players stay from everything we've been through, from something as tragic as MJ Daniels all the way through everything else we've had to do to build this program back.
Well, you mentioned the term true blue, and Dima over here is an Ohio State fan. Those are words that make him shudder, Coach. He doesn't like to hear Michigan's true blue. Isn't that what they say, Dima?
No comment on that. Coach, fourth fall camp for you. You mentioned giving away the offense to Chip Long. How will this fall camp be different in the way that you've coached the past? Is it going to be you're more on the defense and offense, kind of seeing everything, or are you going to do anything different being out there tomorrow?
Yeah, so, you know, I'm on both sides. I'm evaluating everything. Brother Mitch Williams talks about it all the time, you know, in spring ball, just having my eyes on everything to give my opinion and keeping everything running the way it needs to run. So I'll be on both sides. I know all of our schemes. I know everything we're doing. We're going to be able to play complementary football and play winning football even better because of that. What was the other part of it? He was asking about how it would change.
Yeah, I'm just seeing if you were going to do anything different in fall camp since you're not, you know, solely focused on the offense.
One thing we're going to do different, which doesn't have anything to do with me giving up offense, but we're actually going to be able to go in our team periods. We're going to be able to go two practices at once. We're going to have two fields going. Because we've recruited so well. That's what Alabama does, what Georgia does, what's the great Tom Osborne's the first one that did it and made it famous. And we've always wanted to do that here, but we just couldn't. So like when y'all come, like when we go to a team 11-on-11 period, you're gonna see two fields going because we've got 113 players that can play college football now. Where y'all know, golly, year one we couldn't even hardly field one field.
Yeah,
you know,
right.
So that's exciting.
And I know that you always say that it's not real football until they put the pads on. When do y'all put the pads on for the first time? Is that next Tuesday?
Day three.
Good.
Yep. So you can go first 2 days in helmets, then 3, 4, and 5 are in shoulder pads, and then day six is full pads. And we'll tackle that day on day six.
Okay.
Coach, we know you got a lot going on. We're really grateful that you spent 45 minutes talking to us, and I think you know how all of us here feel about you. And We're going to be covering practice and talking to you, and we can't wait for football season to start, Coach.
Well, I appreciate you guys. Appreciate all you do, and yeah, cover our players, man, because we got a lot of really good players that are doing some really cool and neat things, and obviously they believe in Southern Miss, and it's been a journey to get to here. I thank the good Lord for everything we've been through, because it's made us who we are. But like I said, Southern Miss fans, I think we're fixing to have them. Been having some fun over the next few years together, so I appreciate you guys.
All right, Coach, we're not going to let Kelly come to practice in the pink short outfit. You have my personal word on that one.
All right, guys, y'all have fun to the top.
You notice he didn't say anything. He just I would certainly be a distraction.
Coach Will Hall, he didn't have an answer for that one, did he?
What'd he say?
How often do you stump Will Hall? I think that one got him right
He
there.
Had nothing to say.
Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel is a wholesaler and distributor that has been powering our community for over 20 years. With everything from conduits to tape, tools to home automation devices, if you can think of it, we supply it. All you need to do is talk us through the project at hand, and we'll ensure you're equipped to get it done right. To get all the electrical supplies you need, visit Robinson Electric at 519 North 13th Avenue or call us at 601-649-1317.
Southern Miss to the top. To the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
Our DBAT sponsors the final segment of our show every day on Hardy Screech, state-of-the-art facility for baseball, softball training, girls and boys. Great place. And state-of-the-art facility, Luke Reynolds is the manager there, former Golden Eagle baseball great. So it's a great place to take your kids. I want to thank head football coach Will Hall. I told you guys during the break, Kelly, you've been doing this long as me. I dare say there are not a handful of Division I football coaches in the United States of America that would give media guys like us 45 minutes. He'd have stayed for the whole hour on the day that your players are returning. I think everyone should appreciate the openness and accessibility of the man that coaches the football program here.
I think that Coach Hall is what I call a new age coach. He's been raised kind of in the multimedia,
yeah,
you know, era of Twitter and
yes,
Instagram and all that kind of stuff. So I think he acknowledges, you know, how important that is too. And I have always thought, and this goes back to the Richard Nixon. When Richard Nixon was president, I remember my parents always said, if President Nixon would have just been honest with us and told us as a country what he did and apologized for it, the whole country would have forgiven him, you know. And Will Hall's always been an open book, you know. I mean, he
right.
has admitted his faults. He's admitted
right.
what he's trying to do to change it. We all hope that it's going to work. I mean, everybody pulling for this team,
no doubt,
you know, and hope that that all the prognostic. And I agree with you, Bob, with all the numbers and Louisiana Monroe. I think we mentioned 71 new players.
He didn't want to say that, but it was really.
No, yeah, I said it, but yeah. It. How can you project when you have that many people on a lot of these teams? Who's going to be the best and
like
who's
South
not?
South Alabama, well, 50-plus players and
right.
a new coaching staff.
And yeah. you have six new quarterbacks in just the West Division.
Yeah.
Like, I just don't understand it. It's almost impossible to predict. You just have to kind of put down a number and see what happens.
And with all the people that James Madison lost, right. Bob Chesney, a new coach from Holy Cross, they're predicted to finish second in the East.
I'm hanging in at seven, guys.
Really,
I'm
the only two teams in the Sun Belt who brought back the most players is Texas State with 18, Southern Miss with nine returning starters.
Yeah. Similar to the baseball program here, that there's such a tight culture that, you know, Southern Miss has lost one really key player in all of the transfer portal. We don't mention his name on this show, but we all know who I'm talking about. Much can be said for the football program as well. I mean, the numbers of starters they've lost to other schools is minuscule compared to a lot of schools.
But he's also said and been very open about, look, now we know we have to win.
Yeah.
All right, and he said, we have everything on this team to win.
He knows.
So, yeah, let's hope that that's
the case.
All right,
Demi, you got a little football news for us.
Yeah,
too.
So Southern Miss announced a four-game series with Louisiana Tech starting in 2029, going to 2033. Southern Miss takes the trip to Ruston in 2029. Louisiana Tech makes the return trip in 2031. And then they continue with another home-and-home series in the 31 and 33 seasons. So 32 and 33 seasons. So they're going to play 3 years in a row, one in 2029. And then they also have a home-and-home starting next season. So that's 2025 and 2026. So they play four, five, six times in the next 7 years or 8 years. So
makes perfect
sense. Yeah, so that's pretty good. So now you kind of have an idea of where the non-conference slate goes for now. So next season, Southern Miss welcomes the Bulldogs of Mississippi State at the Rock next year. They go to Louisiana Tech and then Jacksonville State. They're going to make the return trip. The Gamecocks are going to make the return trip to the Rock. And then in 2026, Alcorn State coming back to Hattiesburg before Southern Miss takes the trip to the Plains in Auburn, welcomes the Louisiana Tech to Hattiesburg, and then goes on the road to Tulane. So those are some of the games that Southern Miss has to look forward to for fans. And then also the Southern Miss women's soccer schedule was also announced with some notable games against LSU, Ole Miss, Alabama before conference slate starts September 21st. And the first game is August 4th, and the first home game is August 15th against Mississippi Valley State.
August 4th is like a week and a half.
Yeah, right? It's next week.
Yeah, that's right. Next week.
Sunday. Is it Sunday? I think it's Sunday.
And out of NFL camps, Nick Mullins taking snaps with the Minnesota Vikings. Out of Vikings camp, there are some reports that Mullins could very well win that job from Carson Wentz, the starting quarterback position open now that Kirk Cousins was traded to the Atlanta Falcons. So Nick Mullins having a great camp so far with the Vikings.
That's still so hard to believe. I remember vividly my wife and I were eating dinner his senior year here, and he had actually been gone a year. And he and his girlfriend at the time sat right beside us eating crawfish and just carried on the longest conversation, and everything was yes, sir, yes, ma'am, no, sir. No. And now he's could be a starting NFL quarterback. Crazy.
But he would still say that to
he
you.
He would. He's a wonderful young man. There's no question.
And you were talking about that series going with La Tech into the early 2030s. Bob, if we keep doing this show.
Look at that, and I kind of think, well, I don't know if I'll be here for that one. But I hope they play well that night.
Also, some breaking news in the NFL world. They're coming out with a new team. It's called the Kelly Sanders Salmons. So they're going to wear all salmon gear, and Kelly Sanders' face is going to be on the helmet.
Always swimming upstream.
That's right.
And our marketing ploy to get people to buy tickets is get hooked on the salmon. You know.
All right. Well.
The one question Will Hall in 45 minutes could not answer: his thought of Kelly coming to one of his practices in his pink short outfit.
I would definitely be a distraction. He wants to keep that team focused. I get it.
You know. All right.
The Hattiesburg Fashion Plate.
Back tomorrow at 1 o'clock. Until then, Southern Miss.
To the top. Time keeps on slipping, slipping, slipping into the future. Time keeps on slipping, slipping, slipping into the future.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.